Hafaday, welcome to another episode of Hearthstone Deck Techs. Today we are talking about Maligos Druid, a very, very popular archetype, but quite difficult to play. This archetype has existed for a long time in the game in many different formats before when they had cards like Aviana and Kun, the Forgotten Conqueror, and you could combo a big combo where you play those two creatures, then you drop down Maligos, then you play a bunch of spells and win. It is back now in a different form with Twig of the World Tree, and we're going to talk all about the interactions and how this deck works right now. But before we get through that, I'm just going to give you the deck list that I'm running, and this is a pretty straightforward deck list. The reason we're talking about this deck today is because on my Twitter, I put a poll about what deck archetype you guys would like me to cover on a podcast, and you guys decided on Maligos Druid. So if you'd like to participate and interact with this podcast more, feel free to follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/KenSanityHS. I'll put a poll for content of what kind of stuff you want to see, and we'll cover that. So here's the deck list. Get a pen ready. It's a Moonfire, 2 Moonfire, 2 Lesser Jasper Spellstone, 2 Naturalize, 2 Wild Growth, 2 Branching Paths, 2 Ironwood Golems, 2 Oaken Summons, 2 Swipes, Twig of the World Tree, 2 Arcane Tyrant, 2 Nourish, 2 Spreading Plague, 1 Starfire, one Malfurion the Pestilent, 1 Lich King, 1 Alexstrasza, 1 Maligos, and 2 Ultimate Infestation. So basically, this deck, in past iterations, you had to go with the OTK, but this particular list has various lines of winning, and it really just depends on what your opponent is playing and just the state of the board, right? I'm going to talk about it a little bit more because the combo really is Twig of the World Tree. You use up all its charges, or you go down to 1 charge. Then when you have Maligos plus a bunch of spell damage in hand, like Maligos plus Double Moonfire plus whatever, right? You play the Maligos, you swing with the Twig, you get 10 more mana, then you play the spells, all right? It's pretty crazy. It's pretty legit. Or you do something like Maligos, swing, Alexstrasza, Double Moonfire, whatever. Like, so there are different lines, right? There are different lines of play that you can take to win, just depending on what your opponent is at. But there are some games, like versus aggro, where you need to use the swipes or maybe even the Moonfires to kind of curtail the damage that's on the board. And then you can just play a big-ass Alexstrasza, like a tempo Alexstrasza or a tempo Maligos, which these quicker decks may not have the removal to deal with. And then you can ride those to victory quicker, right? So really, it's just about figuring out where can you be greedy. Where can you go for the? Where is the OTK combo going to be necessary? Like, versus a priest or a class that's going to heal up quickly. Like, when do you need to go with the OTK, and when can you just play tempo or stall the board, right? And we'll talk a little bit about that when we get into the matchups. But let's talk about the individual cards and what they are used for in the deck in general. So the Moonfires are obviously combo ender cards, right? They're free. So you want to save that for when you have your Maligos turn, you want to use the Moonfires in conjunction with other spells. The thing is, that, like I said, versus aggro, you need to use that versatility sometimes to ping, a Argent Squire that has no shield but has cold blood. Don't be afraid to use this liberally versus decks that are a lot quicker, especially if you're far behind. Now, remember, some decks where you're going to be within range of lethal, maybe you're at 10 life or something, and as long as you have a couple taunts here or there on the board, your opponent can't kill you yet. He's close to that point, but he can't kill you just yet. So maybe you want to save the Moonfires in that case if you know that you're going to pull the Maligos next turn or you're 1 turn away from the combo. But if you're not, sometimes you're going to have to use these things pretty aggressively, right? Lesser Jasper Spellstone, it is just some of the most efficient removal in the game. 1 mana, like, there are so many armor building effects, and especially this decklist doesn't even use like Ferocious Howl. so it doesn't even have that many armor effect armor effects, but it has a good amount, right? You got Oaken Summons, you got your Hero Power, you got Malfurion. Like there are ways to buff the Spellstone, and typically that's what you're going to want to do. You know, at least get it to 4, unless there's a premium drop that needs to die and you have 2 damage that can kill it, like for instance a Hurt Hench Clan Thug or something. But Lesser Jasper Spellstone, very good removal, very efficient, great card to have. Naturalize, you know, it is removal, but it also, like, you naturalize is a premium removal in that its effect is so negative for you. Letting your opponent draw 2 cards for free is horrible, right? It is horrible. That's why you have to value naturalize a premium. Like, you have to use it for the threats that there is simply no answer for. He drops a Mountain Giant, you need to use this, right? He drops a Lich King and you have no answer, maybe you need to use this, right? That's where naturalize comes into play. Also, it comes into play versus control, like Evenlock or Control Mage, decks that have huge hand sizes, because then you can kind of play into that, right? Okay, Evenlock, he plays the Mountain Giant on turn 3 on the draw. He's got a full hand. Boom, naturalize. Like, that's a matchup where you definitely keep the naturalize, because bam, if you hit the Mountain Giant, he's burning a lot more. And that's typically where it comes into play. You rarely are going to be using it to remove something very small, obviously. 2 Wild Growth. Wild Growth is just so important for Druid. Like, it's practically one of the best Druid cards. Mana Ramp is the pivotal core strength of Druid. And any deck pretty much should have a Wild Growth. Like, maybe it doesn't have Nourish, but it definitely should have Wild Growth. Branching Path. Well, let's talk a little bit about Wild Growth, I guess. So you will never coin out Wild Growth because you have no 3 drops. Okay, there's no reason to get the extra mana early. So you should always use Wild Growth on either turn 2 or turn 3, never on turn 1. Okay, there's no reason, unless you have like a second Wild Growth and a naturalize that you can plan for something. But typically, you never coin the Wild Growth, not with this deck. Other decks, there's an opportunity to, but not here. 2 Branching Paths. And like I said, the Branching Paths are so versatile. Obviously, it can give you armor to buff your Lesser Jasper Spellstone, keep you alive versus aggro. Obviously, it can help you dig. And less obvious is versus extremely wide decks that go really wide, you can buff your Spreading Plagues with attack, right? Which puts a formidable board on your side, which can maybe push through for damage and find lethal. If you can imagine something like a bunch of 1/1s on the board or a bunch of smaller zoo creatures, you play Spreading Plague into Branching Paths. Maybe they trade some out, maybe they don't, and then you play Alexstrasza next turn, and then, you know, now you're pushing lethal. So the Branching Paths, very versatile card. Some decks only run 1. I think that's crazy. I think this card is just so powerful to the class. It's one of the best spells. You should run 2. We're running 2 Ironwood Golems. Iron Golems, the only creature that is under 4 mana here. Right? It is 3/6 taunt, only attacks if you have armor. And that's okay, because at the very least, all you want is a taunt. All you want is some value on the board. And this is overstatted, right? So at 4 mana, 3/5 taunt is good. That's good stat-wise. So this has 1 more health, right? We're making it extremely overstatted, although it cannot attack. But that's okay, because the next card, Oaken Summons, will summon it all the time, since you have no other low 4/4 minion costs or less creatures in the deck. And it'll also give you 6 armor, which means these guys can attack, which means that is great, right? Oaken Summons, very strong card. This is outside with Wild Growth. This is the other card that you probably want in your mulligan versus every opponent. 2 Swipes. Swipes are removal, so use it as that. You can maybe save it for spell damage, like maybe you save 1 swipe, but typically you're using that for removal. Like, the Maligos combo is pretty much Maligos, Break Twig into 1 swipe and double Moonfire, right? Which is 10, it's like 24 damage or something like that, 22 damage. I don't know. It's a lot of damage, right? But that's not necessary, right? You have Alexstrasza. Like, the other variants of this deck use Faceless Manipulator, and we're not running that route. I think this route is a little better for this particular meta. We have a Twig of the World Tree, which is the 4-mana legendary weapon. It has 1 attack and 5 armor. Death Rattle, gain 10 mana crystals. Now, there are decks that have removal, and if they kill the Twig, your combo's gone. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. You're going to have to find an alternate route to win, right? But yeah, Twig of the World Tree, you don't, like, it's okay to have this in the opening hand. Like, I guess if you have a good hand with mana and ramp, but you don't need to draw into this. Because keep in mind, you still need to attack with it 5 times in order to get the mana at the right turn to activate it. And considering that Malygos costs 9, there are situations where you don't have to play the Twig on curve if there is another better play. Okay, you don't. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with playing on curve. I'm just saying you don't have to mulligan aggressively to the point where you're like, oh, I got Twig in my hand, I need to keep it. Unless it's a matchup where, you know, you for sure they're not running weapon removal, and for sure the speed of which you get the combo is important, right? So keep that in mind. Like Shudderwalk Shaman. Like, I guess that would be a matchup where keeping the Twig would be okay. Or aggressively mulliganing for it would be okay. We have 2 Arcane Tyrants, 5 for a 4/4 elemental, costs 0 if you cast a spell that costs 5 or more this turn. And obviously you combo this with cards like Nourish and Spreading Plague or Ultimate Infestation, because it's a good tempo play, right? Consider whatever those cards are and add this on top of it. If you have nothing better to do on a turn 5, it's okay to just play this. You know, using your mana efficiently on your curve is important. We have 2 Nourish. And, you know, Nourish, obviously a very good Druid card. Gain 2 mana crystals, draw 3 cards. Typically, you are using this to gain mana crystals. Unless you're at the end of the, closer to the end of the game where you are fishing for combo pieces, in which case you draw 3 cards. And the reason why a lot of these cards you just want to use, like you just want to windmill slam a bunch of this shit down. And the reason why is you have double ultimate infestation, so you're going to be able to refill that hand. Use Nourish pretty aggressively. You have 2 Spreading Plague, which is just a godsend against aggro. It's probably one of the best druid spells ever made. You're running to be conservative with this, right? Don't waste this, you know, kind of be greedy. You know, and once your opponent overcommits a little bit, throw out that Spreading Plague. You know, it's just a really strong card, especially in this meta. You know, Vanish is not that big thing anymore. Board wipes are not the big thing anymore. I mean, I'd say be careful versus Priest, but then Priest doesn't really go wide on board anyway. So, you know, Spreading Plague is versatile and it's good. It doesn't have the vulnerabilities that a lot of other defensive cards have. Malfurion the Pestilent, you know, you just get a good hero power. It gives you armor, it gives you a better hero power, and it gives you defensive play on board. I think Poisonous Spiders would be okay in some situations, but most of the time I go with 2 Scarabs with Taunt. It's just a powerful defensive option, and that's typically what this deck wants, just to stall. And then we have a Lich King. You know, the Lich King is interchangeable. I don't think the Lich King is that important of a card. It's just that at 8 mana, it fits nicely. It's an 8/8. It has Taunt. You can get some RNG with the Death Knight cards that it gives you. It might give you an alternate type of win condition in this case, but easily exchangeable with other things, maybe even easily exchangeable with Faceless Manipulator, giving you another route to get to kill your opponent, right? But, you know, it's worth testing. It's worth playing around. There are other cards. Like Faceless Manipulator, I think, can be a strong card, but typically it's just very dead in hand. Like all the rest of the cards, like if the combo situation kind of falls apart, you can just windmill slam them down and feel good about it, right? Like, oh snap, I don't have they broke my Twig, or I didn't get the Twig in time. I need to do something now. I can't play my Malygos in hand right now. It's not a good turn to play it. I just need to play something. Let me play the Lich King, right? Lich King is always good because it will always give you value. If it dies, it at least gave you a card. So, that's kind of why it's good, but I could definitely see an argument for playing the Faceless somewhere in this list. And Alexstrasza, and because we don't play the Faceless, you need to get opponents lower, and that's why Alexstrasza is important. And it's just that tempo play. And it does a lot of things. It can heal you up. It can put your opponent all the way down to 15, especially if, you know, sometimes you want to combo this, right? And that's where it's important versus decks like Priest or decks that like Shaman, you know, decks that are filling up their health bar easily. You want to use Alexstrasza to mitigate that healing and then burst them down. Of course, Maligos, the +5 spell damage dragon, because, hey, that's how you win the games, right? Play Maligos, break the twig, play Swipe, double Moonfire, you know, whatever kind of routes you take, you know. Sometimes versus some decks, versus some aggro decks, it's going to be okay to just play Maligos on curve or just on, like, as a tempo play, because the 12 body is just going to be too big for some decks to deal with. And in those cases, you can almost win the deck, the matchup on the spot. You know what I mean? You don't want to hold Maligos just for the combo. Like, imagine you're challenging Odd Paladin or something, right? And, you know, it's turn 9 in the game, and he's got 2 or 3 cards left in hand, but you've kind of slowed down his board buildup. Maybe he has 2 1-1s. He hasn't played Stonehill Defender, whatever, right? Whatever the case may be, go ahead and throw Maligos down. Because at that point, you force him to answer that card right then and there. If he doesn't, if he lets you untap with a Maligos, you can use a Swipe if you have it. You know, like, there's just multiple ways to really put pressure. And that's, I think, one of the things that a lot of newer players to these combo decks kind of lose or don't understand is, you know, when can you get away with playing the combo pieces out there in a vulnerable state simply because the opponents you challenge cannot, you know, make these states vulnerable, you know? It's important to know that. It's important to know, when can I just put damage on the face just to get him lower, even if it won't kill, because I know there's absolutely no way he can heal it back. You know, there are different situations you need to think about and play to your advantages, right? You shouldn't always be defensive. Like, this is a control combo deck, right? It is defensive in nature, but that doesn't mean you should always be defensive. If your opponent gives you a chance to be the aggressor, you should be the aggressor. And so keep in mind every turn, just think about, like, if I played this card, what could my opponent do to get rid of it? You know, what are the odds that I'm playing against here? Keep that in mind. Because in some matchups, like I said, you don't need the combo. You know, you just need to get there. And lastly, we have 2 Ultimate Infestations. I'd like the deck with 2. You really need to draw combo pieces, right? It's important. Drawing Maligos is pretty damn important. So seeing a lot of the deck is very important. Rarely will you ever get to play both Ultimate Infestations, but you know, having that card midway through the game, once you've hit 10 mana, you know, maybe you've used a lot of ramp and you need to refill that hand. That's what this card does. It allows you that opportunity, right? So I like running 2. So that is a deck in a nutshell. We're talking about a little bit about the matchups, what you want to see. So what you do want to see is, yeah, you want to fight Paladin. You want to fight Priest. You kind of want to fight Rogue. Like, you want to fight Rogue, and you want to fight Shaman, and you want to fight Warrior. I'd say Mage is pretty even. You want to fight Mage. You probably want to fight most Warlocks as well. However, what you don't want to fight is Taunt Druid. I think Taunt Druid is probably the worst matchup. You don't really want to fight Egg Hunter. I think Egg Hunter, you have no real efficient way to deal with the eggs, because you don't have Spellbreaker, and you just don't have enough removal for them. Like, you know, you remove the egg, they get a 5/5, so you want to leave the egg there. But if you leave the egg there, then you allow them, you know, opportunities to use Cube. You allow them opportunities to use Feign Death. Just ways for them to really get more value than you can deal with. Also, like I said earlier, Taunt Druid you don't want to face because the boards are too wide. And you really need Maligos plus that spell damage to clear those boards. And they have inordinate amounts of armor, meaning you also need the Alexstrasza play. And even then, it might not be enough. So I think that matchup is pretty much horrible. That's one of the toughest matchups to face. And they have Naturalize, so you can't tempo play Maligos there. You know, they can just kill stuff. Mage, I think, is pretty fair. It's pretty even. Control Mage can be difficult, But, you know, like I said, you got Alexstrasza, so you can just bring them down from their full life, even if they had a Jaina out, and then and kind of kill them from there, depending on what your hand is, right? You know, you got to plan that hand out a little, right? Paladins, it's relatively easy. Sure, it's aggressive, but if you mulligan correctly and they don't have the godlike start, you're in it. You're in it. You have good defensive cards. It's a winnable matchup, a very winnable matchup. Priest is easy. Yeah, I don't feel like either of the priest archetypes, the dragon priest or the mind blast priest, have enough gas to deal with what you can do, because you can just kill them outright. So it's a good matchup, a very, very good matchup. Rogue is pretty good. Like, obviously, you need to hold good opening hand stuff. Like, holding a naturalize is even okay if you're worried, really worried about the Hench Clan Thug on curve. Lesser Jasper Spellstone. Like, those are matchups where holding defensive removal is very important. Shaman in general is pretty easy. I'm only thinking about Shadowwalk Shaman. I haven't really challenged a lot of even shamans, but I don't think even Shaman would be that much more difficult. But versus Shudderwalk, like, you go hard for the combo pieces and dig very heavily to get the combo as early as possible, you know, and hope that you dodge a Gluttonous Ooze. If you don't, it's going to be a little more difficult, but it's still certainly winnable. Warlock can be difficult. Like, I'm in the middle about that. Like, the even lock, that's a matchup where you got to hold naturalize, right? You need to have that to stop the Mountain Giant. Like, if they get the Mountain Giant opening, which is the reason why you play even lock, then you need to really get, you know, really need to have the answer on curve, because it could be backbreaking. You know, they play giant, you naturalize, they burn for cards. That's a huge loss for them and a huge tempo loss. So that can go either way. A Zulok, the healing Zulok, it can be challenging, but if you can get to a big spreading plague turn, you're going to be okay, I think. I mean, I think it's a pretty decent matchup. It's challenging, but it's worth playing. And lastly is Warrior. You know, Quest Warrior just doesn't do enough. Like, they can get whatever armor they want. There's ways for you to force them to use their Reckless Fury so that they burn that armor. And you have Alexstrasza, so you can bring them down. That's a matchup where you kind of want to save. Like, you want to play Alexstrasza, and then you want to use the next turn or whatever. You want to use Maligos, break the twig, then use, you know, double swipe, double moonfire. Like, that's where you really got to hold a bunch of the spells for that. So be wary of what the matchup looks like. Those are the matchups in general. In a mulligan guide, you always keep Wild Growth. You always keep Oaken Summons, okay? Like, those are the cards you want versus every deck. Twig of the World Tree, I would only keep that versus maybe Quest Warrior, definitely versus Shudderwalk Shaman, maybe versus Control Mage. I would rarely keep that, okay? Like, it's definitely, you can think about keeping that some other matchup. Like, Wild Growth and Oaken Summons are just way too important. Nourish is a card I would keep if I had the coin versus a slower deck. So versus Priest, versus Quest Warrior. But typically, I would not keep Nourish. Lesser Jasper Spellstone is a card I would keep versus Rogue. Not too much else. And everything else, and Naturalize is a card I would only keep versus even Warlock. Everything else is, you know, you throw that back, right? You don't really want to keep that. Alternative cards that you could play, like, some decks don't like the Oaken Summons play. I think that play is required. It's required to go that route. I didn't talk about one card, Starfire, right? Well, Starfire is pretty good removal source. It's good damage. You want to use that after a Maligos turn. Maligos, break the twig, Starfire, swipe, double moonfire, right? So, other cards you could play are like Ferocious Howl. It draws you card, adds armor. Starfall gives you some removal options. man, what else is a pretty decent card you should think about looking at? I guess maybe an Innervate. Some decks run one Innervate. I think that's okay. A Wrath is okay. Like I said, Faceless Manipulator is also a card that could possibly be valuable. You just got to see if that fits for you. You know, some decks are running Tyrantus, but I personally do not like that route. Yeah, but that is the deck in a nutshell. It's pretty straightforward to play. It's not very straightforward. Like I said, there are different matchups, like different times where you're just going to play Tempo Malygos on the board or Tempo Alexstrasza. And there are other matchups where you need to hold the combo pieces for it. It's important. So keep that in mind. Very tricky deck to play, but it's very rewarding. I've played it in the different iterations, and this season after the pull, or as the pull came out, I played a good 20 games with it, and I think I went 17-3, which is okay. You know, that's actually pretty good, right? But it's only 20 games, right? It's hard to get a true grasp of that, I think. I think you need 100 games or so, 50 to 100 games to really get a feel for a deck and see how it does. And you know, honestly, like, metas differ, right? So sometimes people just aren't prepared for it. But I find this kind of surprising since this is it's a pretty popular deck, right? But I did a lot better with the deck than I thought I would do because, you know, like I do think it's a pretty difficult deck to pilot. But I like Togwoggle Druid a lot better than Malygos Druid. But, you know, whatever. It's a fun deck. It's pretty cool. Now, let's talk a little bit about the new card. We're not going to talk about every card that's spoiled, okay? But we're going to talk a little bit about some of the newer ones that caught my eye for the set. I'm so excited. It comes out in 2 weeks, right? August 7th or something like that. So I think the last time we got around, like, Stargazer Luna was the last card we talked about. The 3 for a 2/4 Mage Legendary, which is pretty dope. Since then, a bunch of stuff has been released, and I just want to, you know, just touch on a couple ones that, like, caught my eye. And they may not be the best ones, but, you know, they were interesting. Like, we have Annoia Module, which is the full Paladin 4-mana 2/4 mech with Magnetic, Divine Shield, and Taunt, which is basically a better Annoia-tron, which I think is great. It's a great type of throwback to that. Goblins and Gnomes is not one of my very favorite expansions. I really, really hated that meta. I really hated mech synergy, like mech mage. Oh, gosh. I really did not like that meta as a priest player, especially. But, you know, I'm very interested in the new cards they've got. We have Ziliax, the 5-mana 3/2 legendary neutral, has Magnetic, Divine Shield, Taunt, Lifesteal, Rush. So this is a great card that if you want to just put those kind of mechanics onto a mech, like, bam, there's a card to do it for you. And this is tutorable with cards like Talent Crier, right? Because it finds Rush. Tutorable with the Paladin Divine Shield one. Tutorable with Countess Ashmore, you know? Like, Baroness Ashmore, whatever her name is. I think it's pretty cool. That's pretty cool that those synergies finally come into play and there's something worth grabbing with those types of cards now, right? There's this Druid Legendary Creature, 4/4, 3/4, Float, Flabidinous Flute. While in your hand, this is a 3/4 copy of the last minion played. So you can imagine Malygos on a turn 9, Flabidinous Flute on a turn 10 into a Mally, right? Because you just want spell damage at the point. So there are different kinds of things. This card is actually pretty powerful. It's pretty interesting. We'll see how that card develops. There's also Whizbang the Wonderful, which a neutral legendary, 4/4, 4/5. You start the game with one of Whizbang's wonderful decks, and the wonderful decks are going to be the starter decks for the 9 classes, which, now, obviously that is not very competitive, right? This is just typically fun because, you know, obviously those decks are not premium. They could be developed better. But those decks are still good enough. And they do have good and bad matchups. So they are winnable decks. You can win with them. So it will be very interesting to see how players do with this card, like to see if they actually try to hit legend by playing Whiz Bang, right? I think it would be a great thing. And this is something I may try. Like, I may play just a bunch of fringe different decks and then, you know, really make an aggressive push to do well with the Whiz Bang decks. I don't know yet. But I think it's very cool. I'm going to craft the golden one. If I don't open a golden one, I'm going to craft it. I think it's very cool. There's another legendary spell for Paladin, Kangor's Endless Army. Resurrect 3 friendly mechs. They keep any magnetic upgrades. Guys, this is crazy, man. This is a crazy, crazy good card. And right now, Mech Paladin doesn't have a lot of support, but there are good enough neutral mechs, and you do have Annoia module. So I think it's interesting. Now, the coolest thing I think about this is playing it with like something like Grand Archivist. Now, Grand Archivist, it flips over a spell, and then you play the spell for free, right? Now, the tricky thing is, like, if you play smaller spells, then you'll play the smaller spells, right? So you don't play smaller spells, and you just rely on magnetic mechs. And then that way, you flip this over, you get a bunch of stuff. Maybe you play Valinir. Maybe you play Lunessa Sunsorrow. There's something special there. I think I'm definitely going to be building a Paladin Mage mech because of it deck, just to try it out and see if there's something there or what. But I think it's a card that you definitely don't want to underestimate. I think the spells, they're at face value, they don't seem very powerful, but when you think about the types of interactions you can do, you can really do something crazy with them. So definitely interested in that. I really like the priest cards, so I'm going to talk a little bit more about them. Dead Ringer, this 2/2 common. Death Rattle, draw a Death Rattle minion from your deck. That's sick, bro. That is way better than Loot Hoarder. If what you're looking for is Death Rattles, that's the card you want, because you can tutor for particular things. Maybe you tutor for Coffin Crasher, tutor for Obsidian Statue, tutor for Blood Mage Thalnos. It's a pretty good card that you can limit its choices by your deck building style, right? And I that's great. So I like that. I also like the Epic Priest creature, the 5-mana Reckless Experimenter. It's a 4/6 creature. Death Rattle minions you play cost 3 less, but die at the end of turn. How incredible was that? There is something broken there. Like, you can imagine you play this with eggs for Egg Priest, or some kind of sick combo. You know, I don't know what it is, but there's got to be something. There's got to be something. Maybe you're playing a deck that's just all, I don't know why you would do this, but like, you know, a deck that's all creatures and all Death Rattle creatures that are less than 3 or 3 or less. You know, you play this into a, what is that creature that when other creatures die, you draw a card? I forgot. The neutral card, you play that and you draw a shitload of cards. I don't know, right? I don't know. There are crazy things that could happen on this card. So, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to play a Priest deck. And it's going to have these cards. They're pretty interesting. There is a new rogue card, Lab Recruiter. It's a 2-mana, 3/2 creature, common. Battlecry, shuffle 3 copies of friendly minion into your deck. It's pretty much gang up on a creature. And I think that just further strengthens Mill Rogue and Wild. And it'll be interesting to see if that can find play in Standard. Definitely interesting. Weaponized Pinatas, a neutral card that gives you a legendary minion, random legendary minion to your hand. Dr. Boom, the Mad Genius, which is the new warrior hero, 7, and it has 7 armor, which is a great throwback to Dr. Boom. And it's battle cries for the rest of the game. Your mechs have rush, and also does give you a new hero power, which is one of 5 effects that change every turn that you use it. And I think that's pretty interesting. I don't remember what they are off the top of my head. I think one is like 3 damage randomly to a opponent, 1 damage to all of your opponent's creatures, gain 7 armor. I don't remember the others, but it's pretty cool. New Paladin Secret, and then there's a new Priest 3-drop, 3/4/3/4, which means it's premier on the stat test, but it's battle cries. If you have 10 mana crystals, restore 10 health. And I think that is great. That is a pretty amazing card. I love it. Astromancer, 7/5/5 mage epic. Battlecry, summon a random minion with cost equal to your hand size. That's pretty interesting. I would like to see how a control mage does with that. Pretty interesting. And the last card I want to talk about, and remember, it's 135 cards revealed, is the legendary priest spell. Finally, we got it. Xerik's Cloning Gallery, 9 mana. Summon a 1/1 copy of each minion in your deck. Guys, you tell me what to do with that card. That sounds pretty awesome. There's got to be a way to do something amazing with that. Like, you know, maybe you go with the super heavy control deck and then only play like Malygos, Velen, and I don't know what else. And then, you know, you end up playing that. I don't know. You guys figure it out. There's something that when you can play anything that's in your deck and control what's in there, that makes for something broken that can be broken. So I'd like to see what people come up with. I'm going to definitely brainstorm that a little more and try to figure out what I'm going to do with that. And definitely, it's cool. The expansion is shaping up to be a pretty awesome thing. So be sure to pre-purchase a bundle. You know, get yourself a free golden legendary. Get yourself packs at an affordable rate. Don't miss out. I think this is going to be one of the greatest sets, to be honest. I'm very, very excited about it. And that's all for today's episode. Let me know what you want me to cover next time. Thanks again for all the viewers. I checked, and I got way more viewers than I've expected, and I'm grateful that you guys enjoy me talking monotone about some Hearthstone, and I'd like to talk about it more with you. So if you guys have any questions or comments or criticisms, please hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com/KinsanityHS. I'm here. I'd like to discuss the game more, and I could always improve as well. So it's good to get another perspective. And I love a thoughtful discussion, right? So thanks again for watching or listening, guys, and I will catch you next time.